want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We pray that y'all had a wonderful, fantabulous, super terrific Father's Day, and that you got to relax and enjoy worshiping the King and spending some time with your family. Pray that you had a great, great weekend, and now you're ready to hit the ground running and accomplishing great things for the glory of God. So I want to start off today by saying thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes. Dan and his daughter Treasure have been the two people that I have dealt with there. There's other people that work for the company, but they are the people who have headed up the projects that we have used at our house and at the church as well. And just have a great heart and really work hard and do a great job. They have a great reputation. Anytime someone on Facebook reaches out for landscapers, by the time I could get on there and put in my recommendation, there's already a whole bunch of people that have listed Coastal Image Landscapes. Let me give you a phone number you could reach them at: 321-208-2281. 321-208-2281. And that might get you somebody different than Dan, but if that happens, just say, hey, I heard about Coastal Image Landscapes on the Refresh radio program, and I was wanting to talk to somebody about a project at my house, and they'll come out and see if they can get you up and running. So 321-208-2281. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So for the first time in several weeks, we don't really have a major event that is coming up. So we had the first Sunday of the month was Pentecost Sunday. The Sunday before that was Memorial Day weekend. The Sunday after that was the church's 70th anniversary. And this last Sunday was Father's Day. And then we get, this coming weekend, without anything, you know, really spectacular going on. And then the next weekend is July 4th weekend. So we're going to be preaching the Word of God. We'll be resuming my preaching series. And so if you would like to come out and be a part of what God is doing, we would greatly... We'd be greatly honored and pleased to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. So we've got a new gift that we just debuted at our 70th anniversary service. For years, we've given away coffee mugs with mints and chocolates in them. And God laid something on my heart a little over a year ago. And so we finally made that happen. We produced a little Be a Blessing journal, and it's not fancy. It's a nice looking journal, but it's designed for you to write down the things that God speaks to you during your devotions, or what He speaks to you during a Sunday morning message, whatever he quickens to you. Write that down. You know what I found? I remember a lot more things that I write down than the things that I say I'm going to remember. And so if you would like one of those as a part of Merritt Assembly of God through the Refresh radio program, you can call us at 321-454-4263, 321-454-4263, and request one of those. Or you can contact us by email at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. That's merrittassembly ASSEMBLY at hotmail.com and tell us you'd like one of those and an address to send it to. We're not going to charge you anything for it. We're here to be a blessing. And I mean, if you feel led to bless the ministry, that would be great. But we'd like to make these available, not just to people who attend, but people who listen on a daily basis and would like something that would help them to grow in their relationship with God. So if you'd like one of those Be a Blessing journals, just mention it, call us, and we'll get one of those out. Or come by and visit and pick one up and spend a little time worshiping the King with us. That would be greatly appreciated. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 22 today. Luke chapter 22, verse number 28. Jesus says to the disciples, "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." So, Friday we were talking about servant leadership. And today, Jesus transitions from that to talking about the blessings of being a disciple. A lot of people don't necessarily think of the benefits that come from following Jesus, but there are those. Jesus says to the disciples here, "You are those who have continued with me in my trials." Now, here's another paradox between the world system and the kingdom of God. What the world tells you is, "I am with you unless the road gets too difficult, and then I will abandon you." I had a person that visited the church one time, and they said, "Pastor, I mean, the church is just on the verge of really, a move of God, and we want to get in on the ground floor of it." And we were just becoming a sovereign church at that point in time. We had, because of the condition of the church when we came, we'd reverted to a home mission status, and we had to grow to where we were able to self-govern ourselves. And so once we did that, they asked to become a member, and I never saw them again. Never saw them again. And I was like, wow. That is really unusual. I've had other people who, through the years, who were part of it and would say, "Why is everything so difficult here?" And I explained to them, I said, "Do you realize that diamonds are one of the most valuable commodities on earth, and it is found in some of the most difficult places to reach that there is? So there are many times treasure that is hidden in difficult places." Jesus did not come and live a life of luxury while he was here on earth. He was born in a manger. He showed some people who were curious about being his disciples. He said, "Well, come see where I..." He says, "I don't even have a place to lay my head." This was not about a socioeconomic movement that Jesus... This was a spiritual revival that was going to result in salvation being available to all the world. He wasn't looking for what he could accumulate here on earth. He was looking for people that he could make a way for them to spend eternity with him forever in heaven. But he knew that his time on earth was going to be very short. He only lived to be about 33 years old. So I've got kids that are older than that. I've got one that is older, one that's not too far away, and another one that's a little further. But I mean, you look at that, and man, you hear about 33-year-olds dying now, and it's like, wow, that's really, really young. Jesus did not come here to physically occupy the earth. He came to empower disciples through his teaching and through sending the Holy Spirit. He said, it's expedient for me to go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not come unless I return to where I belong. So it was not about the luxurious lifestyle that he could lead here on earth. That was not taking place at all. He was constantly on the move, moving from one place of ministry to another place, trying to reach as many people as possible. But the real higher objective was to train the disciples to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But sometimes that challenge of being a disciple means that you're going to experience some of the hardships. There's going to be some suffering. So in John chapter 6, I believe it is, Jesus had pulled off a teaching. And he said these in verse number 59, these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's easy to grow a crowd when things are going well, when it's the cool thing to do. It's the end thing to do. It's easy to draw a bunch of people. Okay, there are ways that you can draw people, but they're not the same techniques that God wants to use to draw disciples. Discipleship is a calling and it's a commitment. And Jesus in Luke 22, he said, you 11, well, Judas was probably gone by this point in time. You have continued with me in my trials. You say, well, he hadn't even been arrested yet. No, but he had been criticized. He had healed a guy, and then the crowd turned against him and took him to the edge of the hill and was about to throw him off the cliff and said, not the time, and walked right through them. He knew all sorts of challenges. He was constantly being set up for failure by those who came to inquire of him. So there were challenges. And he told the disciples, because you didn't abandon ship, because you continued with me in my trials, there is a blessing that is in store for you. I want you to understand that the blessings of serving Jesus are not just for eternity. The Bible makes it very clear that those blessings, whatever you have given up, whatever you've denied yourself, whatever you have laid on the line for the kingdom, that you will experience that in eternity, but you will also experience the benefits and the blessings of those things now. But here's the thing. The disciples, almost every one of them died a martyr's death. John did not, but it wasn't for lack of trying. They just couldn't kill him. They also understood that the benefits of discipleship are not limited to what we enjoy or do not have here on earth. They're going to be forever in heaven as well. Remember, all of this started from Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going is an expression. There are people say, hey, look, when the going gets tough, we've got your back. You're not going to be able to see us from here, but we got your back. We're way back there. Be the type of people that whenever the trials begin to come, you say, you know what? We need one another more during the trial than ever before. There was an interesting study that was done it's probably a decade or two by now, but they were wanting to know why some relationships fell apart and some relationships didn't. Now I can tell you there are some really intense challenges that arise from in a fallen world that we live in, and unless you are firmly anchored in Jesus, those relationships really get stressed and very few survive. But what they found was that families that stayed together during challenging seasons, that what they found was that those journeys together cemented their relationship and made it stronger than ever before. So, I can tell you, pastors' names right now that I've gone through some missions journeys with, and because of the journeys, I mean, it's a treasured relationship. I treasure those memories, and every time I see that brother, I'm excited to see him because we survived. We survived. So I'm kind of different in that when I went to Bible college and moved away, I got stuck in the old dorm. There were two dorms. There was the old dorm and there was the new dorms. And the upperclassmen got to live in the new dorms. They were newer, they were fancier, they had air conditioning. It was four people to a restroom instead of an entire wing or an entire hall on a floor. They had like two bathrooms on the floor in the old building. And, you know, I don't know, there was probably eight, maybe a dozen people that all had to use the same, you know, floor restrooms. That place wasn't fun. It did not have a thermostat that you could control the heat with. They had a boiler down in the basement. And whenever it got cold, they would fire up the boiler. And there was one time there was a blizzard that happened. And they fired up the boiler. It was so hot that we had to throw open the windows just to cool the room off because it was so miserable hot in there. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. I don't think that wing was even air conditioned. I think we might have had ceiling fans and stuff like that, but we didn't have a whole lot else going on. So, I have great memories from both places, but I'll tell you, the place where I learned to endure through hardship was in the old dorm, not in the new dorm. I only had to spend one semester in there because then the second semester, I was a junior, and and I was able to transfer all of the new students got to spend at least one semester in the old dorm. And so I learned to appreciate the lessons that came from adversity and from challenges. A lot of times people never had challenges, and then when challenges arose, they wilted. They didn't know how to overcome. Please understand that when challenges arise in your life, it doesn't mean that you are on the wrong track. Many times it means that you're on exactly the right track, and the devil is really upset about it, and he wants to try to get you to quit and throw in the towel. So Jesus says, "You are those who have continued with me in my trials." It is not about willpower. It is about you being with Jesus in his trials and Jesus being with you in your trials, walking in covenant relationship. So my wife and I, when we were engaged, there was a person that said, the only reason that she wants to marry you is she wants a title. She wants a position. And I want you to know that that person could not have been more incorrect. The challenges that my wife and I went through to pursue the ministry and the call of God and follow wherever he wanted us was something that a lesser woman would not have been able to put up with. I remember, you know, I've told you this at the discipleship camp where I was praying and asking, God, is the ministry always going to be this hard? And God said, no, it's going to be harder. And so I went back and I asked my wife and I said, I'm not asking you to take a walk of faith with me. I'm asking you to take a leap of faith because I have no idea where God's going to take us. But all I know is this, we have been together through thick and thin, and it's not because of the bond between us. It's because of the bond between us and Jesus. Jesus is the one that made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survivors. Jesus is the one that made Daniel a survivor in the den of lions. It wasn't just the lion's den. That den was full of lions. And I don't want to mess with lions. I'm just here to tell you, they got sharp claws and sharp teeth, and they're pretty strong. And they got an attitude. So Jesus said, because you have continued with me in the trials, not just in the good times, he said, I bestow a kingdom upon you just as my Father bestowed one upon me. That's great news. That's great news. We are part of the kingdom of God. So let me throw this little nugget out there so you can study. Look up in the New Testament. Look up the term kingdom of heaven and look up the term kingdom of God and do a study on that, about what the nature of the kingdom looks like. We've talked about some of it's a kingdom of service, but you're representing the king. The kingdom of God is funded by the God of the kingdom. Okay? So he's going to make sure that whenever he gives you a vision that the provision is going to be there. But it is not going to be for the fly-by-nighters. It's not going to be for the people who, as soon as adversity comes, they're going to abandon ship. This is for people who are willing to stick it out from the beginning to the end. I tell you that the Bible instructs us to count the cost, but I pray that you come to the point that I've come to, and you can say this, I've come too far to turn back now. I have come too far, seen too much, and recognized the goodness of God and recognized the reality of evil to ever consider abandoning what God has provided. You know, the devil is full of promises, but he's also full of lies. God is full of promises, and he's full of fulfillment. And so when he says he's going to give us a kingdom, he means it. That means you're not alone. Okay, if you're on your faith journey all by yourself, I want you to understand that kingdom's too small. You need to be part of the kingdom. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb for the purpose of the Lamb. God created you on purpose with a purpose. And so I want you to understand that he has given that to you. And if God has given something to you, you can trust a thief only wants to steal things of value. But when God's bestowed it upon you, say, you know what? He has given me something of great value, of great worth, and I'm not letting go of this for anything. He said, just like my Father has bestowed one upon me, I bestow one upon you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What he said there is that the fellowship, they'd just partaken of communion, as what we call communion, Passover for them. They had just partaken of that, and he said, I'm giving you a kingdom, and that means that you and I are going to be able to sit at the table, and we are going to eat and drink. We're going to have fellowship. We're going to have communion with one another. When we went away, one of the things that we wanted to do was to just enjoy the presence of God. So I got up every morning, and I didn't read to prepare a sermon. I read my Bible so I could fellowship with my Savior. And that's a wonderful blessing. Next time you open your Bible, don't just look for motivation, or don't just look for information, but look and see what the King wants to do in your life to transform you into being more like him. Okay? Because I know this, he never changes, and he's constantly working on me to make me more like him. As long, there's a song that says, if I'm not dead, then you're not done. But I can tell you this, if you're still breathing, there's probably still some transformation that God wants to bring about in your life as well. And I encourage you, spend some time with him, fellowship with him, just because he loves you and because you love him, and it will be time well spent. So God bless you. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. We'll see you tomorrow right here on 91.5.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
There can be